Our sermon text this morning continues in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, picking up in verse 21 and concluding in verse 31. Mark 1, 21 to 31. Now hear the word of the Lord. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, we put our trust in you. Never let us be ashamed. Be our rock of refuge and a fortress of defense to save your people. Lead us and guide us. We rejoice in your mercy. You have not shut us up into the hand of the enemy. Do not let us be ashamed, for we have called upon you. O Lord, let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let lying lips be put to silence. And preserve the faithful. Fully repay the proud person. And give us courage and strength in our hearts. Give us understanding of your word now, O Lord. Increase in us love and great joy. And by your Spirit, move us to go forth serving you in your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning are Jesus and authority. Jesus and authority. Follow along and count, and I'll give you a count after the service. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we continue during this Epiphany season in our Epiphany sermon series with Jesus, the Son of God, manifesting himself to the demons, to unclean spirits in Israel. Now, previously in his ministry, Jesus revealed himself to the devil in his temptation in the wilderness. And from this we can learn the manifestation of the Son of God isn't limited to just his people. No. Jesus also reveals himself as the Son of God to the enemy. Now Jesus picks up the preaching of John the Baptizer, and he called the Jews to repentance. Jesus went into the synagogues and taught. And these synagogues, we should see them like local churches planted around in Israel, where people gathered for scriptural teaching. Going to the temple was three times a year for the feast. On a regular basis, Israel went to the synagogue. And the Lord reveals this in the law, where the people would gather for weekly convocations on the Sabbath. Now in the synagogue, we see Jesus' teaching was effective. It was powerful. He spoke with authority. What he preached and taught took the people aback. They understood that he had authority. And to some, Jesus blessed with understanding. The Spirit reveals that to understand the Lord, to understand His Word, to understand His teaching, is only by the grace of God. For God's people to understand parables, that comes from God. To make the good confession of Jesus as the Christ, that's only revealed from the Father above. And it's the same for the church today. When we understand the Word of God as it is preached and taught, it's because the Spirit reveals that to us. Your understanding is a gift. A great preacher could preach the same sermon in two different churches and receive two different responses. One could be a response of faith, acceptance, conviction, obedience to the Word. And another church can be rejection. No response. So, brothers and sisters, understand that if you understand me in the preaching of the Word, it's because the Spirit gives us understanding. Praise God and thank Him for it. Because the Word is powerful. The Word is effective. The Word goes forth. It does not return void. God accomplishes His plan through His Word. And God will test His church to believe His Word and to believe His promises. The church is tested, even tempted, that to gain acceptance of the message of the gospel, to gain acceptance of the Word, the church must resist the temptation to change the gospel or to water it down, to round off the hard edges. The church must resist. We are to preach the full counsel of God, the full Word, from Genesis to Revelation. Preach all of it. Sow the seed, water the seed, and God will give the growth. That's what the Word says, and we are to believe that. Now, Jesus' preaching was with all authority. The incarnate Word preached the Word. We see elsewhere when He entered the synagogue, He read the Scriptures, and He says, "This is me." You're seeing this happen before you. And He explained the Word to the people, and those who understood was a gift. Now, in these synagogues, these houses of God, where the Word was taught, boys and girls, what did Jesus find in these synagogues? He found demons. He found unclean spirits in these houses of God. This should alarm us. The synagogues of Israel had demons inside of them. Places of worship filled with unclean spirits. Israel had become overrun by the enemy. But I hope you notice, brothers and sisters, that what stirred up the demons, what made them uncomfortable to be in these houses of worship, was the Word of God with authority. There was unrest as a result. The faithful preaching and teaching of the Word in the authority of Jesus Christ, and the demons could not remain. Now, Israel had become overrun by the enemy. We'll see this throughout the Gospels. The cosmic battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent was coming to a head. And we will see Jesus go toe-to-toe with the dragon in the Gospels. And this is unlike any time in history. Read your Old Testament. How many times do you read something about demons? Some mysterious battle going on. There's some, but few. Few demons, few demonic activity in the Old Testament. Not like the Gospels. It's in the coming of the Son of God that all this gets stirred up and the cosmic battle is at hand. The advent of the Son of God into the world flushed out the demons because the Son put the dragon on notice, the strong man was unnoticed. Jesus revealed to his enemies that their time was short. He was claiming his own Israel, and he would begin to subdue his enemies. And he did this with authority and power. Hear verse 24, what the demon said to Jesus. "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Made the demon shudder. And we'll see through his 3 years of earthly ministry, Jesus binding the strong man in battle. Boys and girls, when Jesus bound the strong man, who is the strong man? Satan. Very good. He's binding Satan in the gospel ministry. And he binds the strong man in order to plunder his house. Satan had a certain amount of Israel under his control, synagogues, demon-possessed people, people overcome by unclean spirits. And this will go for 3 years, this nasty conflict that will culminate at the cross. Because it's at the cross that through the death of Jesus Christ, he defeated the one who had the power of death. How did Jesus defeat the devil, boys and girls? How did he stomp the head of the serpent? Through his death. By dying, he defeated Satan. And by his resurrection, he defeated death. Now, as we heard a few weeks ago from Revelation 12, from the ascension of the risen Christ, the dragon knew his time was short. Jesus would ultimately bind him and then send the disciples to the nations. And the church could then go forth in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Spirit to disciple not just Israel, but every nation under heaven. Because the strong man is bound, the nations will listen. They will listen to the gospel, and some will respond by faith. All the nations of the world can respond to the gospel because Jesus has bound the devil. Jesus has claimed the world with all authority, and the church goes forth in his name, in that authority. Boys and girls, where do we have Jesus' name? Written across our foreheads. We have the name of God tattooed on our foreheads. And the promised Spirit in our baptism empowers us for this work. Every single one of us. These promises are for us. In the early church, beginning at Israel, Judea, Samaria, and all the generations since, to the ends of the earth, the church goes forth in the name of Jesus, bringing all the nations to bow in submission. And that's the work that we carry on today. Now, in Mark 1, we also read, it's also revealed, the Spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, manifested himself to Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus healed her from sickness, raising her up. And immediately, you'll read that a lot in Mark. Mark says immediately a lot. Jesus was active. He was the active king, conquering his enemies. Immediately, Peter's mother-in-law responded by faith to his grace. The two sides of the covenant, grace, respond by faith. In verse 31, so Jesus came and took her up by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she served him. Now this, "and she served him" in the Greek translates to, she took the Myers-Briggs and completed an Enneagram to identify her personality and gifts before she served. No. That's not what it means. It means she got up and served him. She got to work. She started serving Jesus. She just served him. He gave her new life, and she served him. And this is paradigmatic for the call of the disciple of Jesus Christ. We are saved to serve. Each one of us. Now, while we each have different strengths, we have different areas where we would like to serve, there's much diversity within the body, that is true. We cannot be paralyzed by analysis. I can't serve in this area because it doesn't speak to my gifts. I can't serve in this area because it's kind of icky and gross and I don't want to do it. No, the calling of the disciple is to serve. Serve Jesus. We have a need, step up and serve. Because everybody can help to some degree within the body. We have monthly prayer meetings. We all can pray. From the youngest to the oldest, we all can pray. And we all can yawn at those prayer meetings. But we can all pray. We can all study the Bible. So when we have teaching opportunities, everybody can be there. That's not a spiritual gift that one is required to have before you attend. We all have fellowship. We all participate in that. We all need to sing, whether that is a gift or not. We will sing for eternity. So when we'll sing later, everybody can be there to sing. We all can serve. We all can clean up. And these are the primary ministries of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, as you work down the line, there are others that branch out with administrations and helps and encouragement, but these are things that each and every one of us can do. So don't wait. Take responsibility for your own discipleship and take responsibility for your own service. I'll serve when someone asks me. No. Jesus calls you to serve. You're responding to him, not someone saying, hey, we have a need for you here. Step up and serve. Grab a broom. Later, young people, we will have a time of teaching for the little kids after the service. We'd benefit from some of you younger people sitting there helping corral kids around the table. So if somebody's looking for an area to serve, there's one today. Everybody can serve. Now Jesus taught his disciples what true leadership and true authority looks like. Later in Mark 10, Jesus called the disciples to himself and said to them, this is Mark 10:42-45. Jesus said to the disciples, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet, disciples, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So remember the relationship of a disciple is to look to our teacher, and what our teacher does, we do. So Jesus is telling the disciples, the Son of Man has come to serve, and you must serve too, disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus manifested authority in his bold and faithful preaching and teaching. He controlled the demons. He exhibited strength in casting them out. And when we have the word, this is for all of us, when we are discipling our children, when we are evangelizing, when we are holding Bible studies at our homes, when we are doing apologetics, we can speak with authority. Yes, this is what the word says. We can be bold with that. We don't have to be jerks about it, but we can be bold. This is what the word says. Jesus also manifested authority not by lording it over. He served. Now, from our standpoint, we can see the humility of Jesus in not insisting in the honor he was due as God. That's what Philippians 2 tells us. He did not insist on the honor and glory that he ought to have received in his coming. He set aside that glory in his passion and his suffering. But more than that, Jesus showed what true authority and true leadership looks like in this fallen world. This is what true authority, true leadership looks like in this world. It's humble leaders serving for the good of the people. Humble leaders serving for the good of the people. That service gives life. Now, my Reformed brothers and sisters, consider the doctrine of God's sovereignty. You love God's sovereignty. God gives us great comfort that he is in control, that he has all authority over every detail of creation and over every detail of our lives. That gives us great comfort. This isn't just a random thing that's happening. We're not in some washing machine of life just getting tossed to and fro. We like the power that God has. He is God. The word sovereign means superior, ruler, master, Lord. This is our God. What is Jesus teaching us here on being a sovereign? Being a sovereign in this world is humble service for the good of the people. That's what Jesus teaches here in Mark 10. Don't lord it over. Humbly serve. That's sovereignty. Apply that to our doctrine of God's sovereignty. God is in control of all things. He controls every detail. How and why does he exercise control over every detail of the world? How and why does he control every detail of our lives? To serve us for our good. God's sovereignty is to serve us for our good. So apply that to 2020. The national turmoil, is God serving us for our good? Worldwide pandemic, is God serving us for our good? Consider Acts 17, 26 to 27. This is the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill. He's presenting the gospel to the philosophers, the Greek philosophers. And he preaches, Acts 17, 26 and 27, God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. So, nations in the world. He has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So, times through histories, nations experience through history, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. That's the sovereignty of God. That's God sovereign over every nation under heaven and working every detail through history, even 2020, even 2021, even the president and vice president of the United States. He appoints these times so that these nations should seek the Lord in hope that these nations and the population of these nations should grope after God and find him. Because he's not far from each one of us. All these events that God is orchestrating around the world through history is that the nations would turn to God and find him. Now remember the Great Commission. Go to every nation, disciple the nation. The loving sovereignty of God is to bring the nations to repentance, submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church can disciple those nations. Now that's grand scale. That's national and international. What about your lives? What about the trials in your lives? What about the testings of our church? What about this church? What about the testings of this church today? Our sovereign Lord orchestrates every detail to lovingly serve us for our good. The testings of your life, your trials, your afflictions, your periods of waiting, God is orchestrating this for your good because He loves you. It is for your benefit. Jesus taught his disciples about this lordship, this authority, because it taught them about him. In so many words, Jesus was saying, this is how I serve in this fallen world. This is how I image authority to this fallen world. This is how you look like me when you do the same. When you go forth with that tattooed name of the triune God that you get from baptism, as you go forth by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, this is how you do it. Disciple, image Jesus, manifest Jesus, epiphany. Disciples go forth imaging Jesus in every area of our lives. This is how you do it. We serve with authority. Now, in history, Israel had servant status in the Old Covenant and the Old World. The nation of Israel, the world too, was immature. Israel was not given the authority over the other nations. No, Israel was a priestly nation. Israel was not ready, too immature to handle it. The Son hadn't come yet, Galatians 4 tells us. But now the Son of God has come in the fullness of time, and the people of God have the authority and maturity in Christ. These are gifts He gives us, that we can grow up, we can mature and be like Jesus, discipling the nations in the name of Jesus, manifesting Christ to the nations, and having the authority of Jesus to serve the nations. Now, this is counterintuitive to us. You have all authority on earth to serve. When we think about exercising authority, we have this image of strength and submission. Jesus said that was wrong in this fallen world. That's Gentile authority. That's how unbelievers show authority. You've heard it said, 1 Corinthians 1, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. That challenges our belief. We think we should just kick down doors and say, repent and believe the gospel, or we're going to subdue you. Jesus said, this is how you show authority. This is how the church goes forth. So we take that by faith. We live by faith in the Son of God. We submit to His will, His design, His mission as His disciples. We belong to Him. And He puts us in situations that are counterintuitive to how we'd expect to disciple the nations. Israel was in Egypt, in bondage, witnessing. Judah witnessed to Babylon in exile. And Judah witnessed by singing, according to Psalm 137. The early church ministered to Israel and then the surrounding nations in persecution, challenging our expectations. Brothers and sisters, the nation in which we live, the nations in which the church serves, the cities where God has placed us, Jesus has all authority over them. They belong to Jesus. Where you live, that belongs to Jesus. Odenville, Asheville, Leeds, Moody, Birmingham, the whole country of the United States belongs to Jesus. And the age in which we live is an age filled with people and nations who refuse to turn to Jesus Christ and submit to his authority. That's the unbelief of our day. Jesus is king right now. He has authority over everything, and everybody needs to turn to him, repent to him, and align themselves with him. This was the preaching of the apostles. Acts 2 at Pentecost, Peter preached. Let all the house of Israel, nation, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's a sermon. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and to your children, to all who are afar off, every nation, as many as the Lord our God will call. Jesus is king, turn to him. There is your evangelistic message. He has all authority in heaven and earth. Turn and submit to his lordship. The neighborhoods in which you live belong to Jesus. The neighbors whom the Lord has given us are under his authority. In a sense, they belong to him because he has the whole world. They are his to give. And even if they deny Christ and they refuse to submit, they're building homes on Jesus' land. They're starting families. They're growing crops in Jesus' world. And as the world's sovereign, he graciously withholds the judgment that the unbelievers are due. But he's still putting them under his feet. Now we love that, Psalm 110, right? He's putting all his enemies under his feet. With all authority, he's putting his enemies under his feet. How is he doing this? Serving disciples? By our exercising lordship over them, not holding it over them, but by our serving them. Our serving them is putting them under his feet. It's discipling the nations. Don't lord it over them. Don't kick them off the land in the name of Jesus. No, serve them, love them, pray for them, minister to them in the authority of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You're marked. You belong to Jesus. You no longer live for yourself. You live for Jesus. So serve. Give life to those around you. Give life. Give of yourself to others. And through that faithful service for the kingdom moves. We gain more authority in the name of Jesus. We need not fear the enemies of the gospel. We need not fear these squatters and trespassers on Jesus' land. No, instead we pity them. If they don't turn to Jesus, judgment awaits. If they don't submit to his rule and his sovereignty, we'll not always be humble and patient. We love them, we serve them at our own loss, so that they might grope for him, they might grope after him and find him. Brothers and sisters, if that sounds like a raw deal for us, all that you've done in your life, all that you've saved, all your possessions and your riches, and to find out that they're set aside for the kingdom, that you might use them to serve others, well, it all belongs to Jesus anyway. Jesus doesn't mark you. He marks all your stuff, too. And he promises you, use your possessions, use your treasures, use your resources for his kingdom's sake, and you will have greater treasures later from your faithful service. So let us respond by faith to this message that the Spirit is giving us understanding. Let us respond by faith. Let us go forth in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus Christ, as we leave this house, and let's get our hands and knees dirty. Love your neighbors. Learn their names. Pray for them. Leap at the opportunities to serve your neighbors. And when you do serve them, remember, you are serving them as kings and queens. In the words of Luke 17:10, when you've done all these things which you are commanded, say, humbly, faithfully, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who does govern all things in heaven and earth, mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.